I am really excited that you guys are here, especially for tonight. Have you guys ever watched a movie or watched a television series, like a Netflix series or cable TV or whatever the case may be, some sort of movie or story where, you know, it's cool and it's enjoyable and it's something that you go back to and watch all the time, but you're kind of like, how does everything in this connect? And then you get to the very end of the movie and like the last like 10 minutes or the last like scene or the last episode of the series, it like just brings everything together and you're like, oh, okay, I understand, right? Have you ever been in that situation? I definitely have. And that's what kind of what tonight is for us. Tonight kind of brings everything into clarity for this whole conversation that we've been talking about when it comes to struggle, all right? So tonight is really important. So zero in, pay attention, because I don't want you to miss what's so important and what God has for us tonight, all right? And I would also encourage you that if you're looking around and, you know, you have some friends that aren't here tonight, or you, have the person who usually sits next to you and you notice they've been here the other week, but they're not here tonight, I would really encourage you to tell them to go onto our website and listen to this message if they have the time, if they have the desire, all right? In fact, we put up the messages every single week on our website, crosspointstudents.org, and that's for you guys, in case you missed and kind of want to know what we're dealing with, what we're going through, for your parents, if they kind of want to know what's going on in the ministry. That's a great way to be able to do that. So I'd really, if you see someone here tonight, maybe at the end, or if you don't see someone here tonight, and at the end of the night, you're like, oh, they really could have used that, or they should have heard that, encourage them to do that, because it'll be on there. And it is really important to be able to talk about what we are going to delve into here tonight, because we've been working through this series for the past 3 weeks. Maybe you've been here, maybe you haven't. We've been talking about struggle and how struggle is something that is a universal experience. We've all dealt with it. We probably all are currently dealing with it. We've spent 2 weeks really bring some real clarity to like what it is and what it's not. That's what we've spent the past 2 weeks doing. And, you know, God has been speaking to us throughout that process for sure. But like I said, tonight is the night where it matters. You know, these past couple weeks have been important. They've been essential in our journey. But you may have come and said, okay, yeah, I feel you. Like, I understand what it is better now. I understand what it's not. But what does that matter to me? Like, why should I care about that? That's what tonight is about. And that's why I think it's so important to really pay attention and to really hear what we are going to delve into. So, like I said, the past 2 weeks, this will be a third week in the series, we've been working through this series called The Struggle is Real. And, you know, that phrase is thrown around all the time, sometimes on things that really are not a struggle, that they don't matter at all. But in some other scenarios, it does describe well the situations that we find ourselves in. And we set up the very first week just this understanding that when we talk about struggle as it relates to our spiritual lives, as it relates to our relationship with Jesus, wherever it is, whatever shape it's in, that it's usually talked about in one of two areas. And the first is this, that we talk about struggle when it comes to our fight against sin. We're born into this world. Sin rules this world. We have the desire to sin inside of us. We have a bent towards sinning. Left to our own devices, apart from Jesus, we'll choose it every time. We'll choose selfishness. We'll choose rebellion every single time. And that sin controls us until we meet Jesus and he sets us free from that. But as you guys know, anyone in here who has a relationship with him, that's not the end of the story. Sin comes back again and again and tries to make us slip up. And there's this awesome picture in the Bible of us struggling against it, us fighting it. It describes sin as chains that keep us bound and weigh us down. And we're struggling against those things. We're fighting against them. So you hear that all the time. And then the other area that we use the word struggle a lot as it comes to our spiritual lives is just the hard things in our life. Maybe things that we've brought onto ourselves because of the decisions we've made. Maybe things that other people have put on us that we had no control over. And, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle where it's just like, man, sometimes stuff happens. And sometimes stuff just does happen. I had a conversation with my friend Donna. She was on campus early this afternoon, and I got talking to her for a little bit. And she got attacked by a pit bull like last weekend, and her face was kind of messed up and stuff. And it was just interesting to hear her talk about it, because she was like, I don't have any bad will toward the dog or the person who owns the dog or anything like that. She's like, sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And there is a reality in that. Like, we live in a broken world. Broken stuff happens sometimes. Sometimes we didn't ask for it and no one else is doing it to us. It exists because the world isn't the way that it should be. And so we've spent time really laying a good foundation of what struggle is, what it's not. And we finally come to this point where we need to look at what is to come. We have a good idea of what it is. We have a good idea of what it's not. Why does that matter? So if you wanted to have like a title for this message tonight, it would be this: the struggle is real, but. Okay? The struggle is real, but. Because I'd never want you guys to walk away from a night like tonight where we talk about struggle and we talk about our fight against sin and be like, oh, you know, those guys that speak to us or our small group leaders, they're like super Christians. They don't deal with anything. And you might walk away feeling like we're saying, man, just pull your crap together. Like, just deal with it and get past it. I just want you to understand that that is not our heart behind this. Are there things that we probably just need to get over? Yeah, definitely. But there also are some very real struggles that exist in our life. So we're not dismissing them. We're not treating them lightly. But we need to understand that in the middle of intense struggle, whether it's with sin, whether it's just from the world, there is hope. There is hope, okay? So what I want to do is I want to look at three different things to bring hope into the situation you may find yourself in, maybe tonight, where you feel like struggle has you tied down, when you feel like you just cannot be free of a certain sin that keeps coming up in your life, or a scenario that you're going to go home to tonight that is just all-encompassing and overwhelming. You need to know that there is hope. And these three things will kind of start us down that road for us to be able to say, yeah, the struggle is real, but. All right? So the first one is this, and I think it's a really important one. It's the struggle is real, but it's not who you are. Okay? The struggle is real, but it's not who you are. If you have been struggling with something, like a sin tendency or temptation for a long time, or if you have had some kind of struggle in your life that was like really severe, something that just totally shattered your world and something that changed your life forever. If you've had either of those things, a temptation that we can have is we start to associate that struggle, whether it's a sin or a circumstance or whatever, we start to associate that with our identity, with who we are. We might think of the struggle as encompassing who we are as a person. And it can lead us to really some dangerous thinking. We can get to the point where it's like, hey, so maybe you're in here and you struggle with drinking. And if we believe that the struggle is who we are, we move from being like, hey, I struggle with drinking, to I'm a drunk. That's just who I am. Instead of saying like, I've made a mistake in this relationship that I've had. If you let the struggle become your identity, you'll move from that to I'm just really bad at relationships. Instead of saying something like, I struggle with like same-sex attraction, you can get to the point where you're like, well, I'm just gay. That's who I am. Our struggle becomes who we are, and we need to understand that is not God's plan for us. But it's very easy for you and I to fall into that. I had an opportunity years ago in high school, a situation, a hurtful, painful situation in my life where I had the opportunity to let the struggle that I was going through define who I was and shape how I was going to be moving forward. And you just need to know this going into this. High school Kyle was not the super cool person who stands before you right now, okay? High school Kyle is not nearly as cool as me now. So that gives you an indicator of just how much of a loser I was. But not cool. High school Kyle went to prom. All right. Some of you guys went to prom. Who went to prom the past couple weeks? Yeah. Had a fun time. Right. I went to prom actually twice. And my senior year, I didn't have a girlfriend or anything. And me and my group of friends was going, and I think I may have told you guys a story before, but I have visual images for your viewing pleasure here. I asked this friend of mine, this girl that hung out in our friend group, we were all going to go as friends, I asked her, hey, do you want to go to prom? And it wasn't romantic in any way, it wasn't like a big deal, it was just like, hey, you know, I'm sure you want to go, I want to go, and so, hey, let's go together. And she said no. Okay, so she said, no, I don't want to go to prom, but she had a good reason. Okay, she was like, I'm not going to prom at all. And I was like, oh, you know, that's not really a rejection per se. Like, she's not going, so of course she wouldn't want to go with me. And then a couple weeks down the road, I find out that Oh, she is going to prom. She's actually going to prom with one of my best friends in the same friend group, which means we're going to go to dinner beforehand, and then we're going to hang out afterwards. We're going to hang out at prom. And so I have a picture of that super awkward moment in my life. You can put it up. There it is, right there. You know what? You know what? I take it back. I was super cool in high school, all right? But that's me on the end there. I still have that suit. If any of you want to borrow it for your prom, you're welcome to, okay? But the girl that I had asked is this girl right here in the middle in the black dress, okay? So I asked her if she wanted to go to prom, and then she ended up saying no, and she went with that guy who's kind of standing behind her to prom, okay? So it's all right. I'm totally, and I don't know. Somehow I landed that girl that's next to me. She's super weird, right? I don't know. High school was not a great time for me. What? Of course I'm wearing flip-flops. How would I not be wearing flip-flops? What's wrong with you? All right, so it's all right. It's all in the past. My wife is beautiful and awesome, so it worked out in the long run. But I'm not, you know, I'm not a terribly emotional person. If you've heard me breathe, like, you know that that's not true, right? Like, I'm not an emotional person. But, you know, something like this, thoughts come through your head, like, oh, like, why would she not want to go with me? Like, am I not, you know, handsome enough, or am I not cool enough? Or, I mean, I had the suit. I don't know what the problem was. Is this guy better than me? You know, and I'll be honest, in a moment of vulnerability here, like, I felt pretty rejected. And there was an opportunity in that moment, as seemingly inconsequential as it appears, there was an opportunity for me to let that shape who I was. Like, that was a pretty hurtful thing for me. And there was an opportunity for me to carry that forward into my life saying, I'm just a person who's going to be rejected for whatever reason. Or I had the opportunity to believe what God said about me, which, let's be real, has about zero to do with who you take to prom your senior year, right? But I had the opportunity to let that define who I was. And you sitting in this room tonight, the different struggles that you deal with, have the opportunity to let that define you, or you have the opportunity to let God define who you are. Associating our struggle with our identity, it causes huge, huge problems in our life. Like, it brings depression into our life. It brings a loss of hope into our life. And we might end up letting our struggle run our lives and shape who we are because we think it represents who we are, which means that there's no way that any of that is going to change. Man, what a terrible view of ourselves, right? What a low, low view of ourselves when all that we are is our basest desires and temptations, when all that we are situations that other people have put on us or that we've brought onto ourselves at some point in our history. What an extremely low view of ourselves. God doesn't look at us like that. God doesn't view us through the lens of our struggle. I think he views us in a much, much different way. And the way that he views us is the way that really matters. And there's a great example of this in the book of 2 Corinthians in the person of Paul. You've heard of Paul before if you've been around like at all in church world. And he's a big deal. And he wrote a whole bunch in the New Testament. God used him to do all sorts of awesome things. And in 2 Corinthians, he talks about one of these struggles that he has in his life that just will not go away, no matter how hard he tries. He calls it a thorn in his flesh. All right, let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it's going to be verses 7 to 10. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, in struggles. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I think it's really cool. No one really knows what this thorn in the flesh was that Paul talks about. There's a lot of speculation about it. Some people think it's like a physical problem. Other people think it's like a moral issue. No one really knows what it is, which is kind of cool because it means that we can all relate to it, right? If it was something really specific, it would be like, well, I mean, that's not my deal, so I can't really relate to it. Here's someone who God used to do incredible things, and he had like a radical turnaround in his life to start serving God. And he still had a struggle come in again and again and again. And he asked three times, like, Lord, take this away from me. And even though our struggles are different, Paul had this struggle that wouldn't go away, but he wouldn't let define him. He didn't let his struggle define who he was. He didn't let his struggle stop him from doing the work that God had called him to do. And I think really the big reason why Paul didn't let his struggle become his identity was that he understood just in the core of who he was, on the deepest part of his heart, that God didn't see him through the lens of his struggle. He saw him for who he really was. He knew deep in his soul that God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love was enough for him. The struggle never went away. And for some of us, the struggle will never go away. But Paul knew that because of God's grace, the gift that God had given him of forgiveness, he knew that he was loved and he knew that he was accepted just as he was. And here's the deal. Some of us in here tonight are letting our struggle define who we are. Some of us in here tonight are letting circumstance define who we are and are letting sin define who we are. Guys, you're not gay, you're not straight, you're not a porn or drug addict, you're not a victim of abuse, you're not from a broken family. All those things come in at some point in your life, but you need to stop believing that that is all of who you are. It is not even close. What matters in who you are is what Jesus says about who you are, which there's two options. You're either in his family or you're outside of it. But either way, Jesus loves you. What your identity comes back to is who Jesus says you are. Who gives a crap what anyone else says when the person who put the entire world together and put every star in the sky, who beat death and sits at the right hand of God, says that you are worthwhile, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that I know every hair on the top of your head, and even while you hated me, I would be willing to die for you. That now, if you've accepted my forgiveness and if you've surrendered your life to me, you are part of my family. You are my sons and my daughters. What in the world? Why would we settle for anything less than that? But so many of us walk around and we let sin define us rather than let Jesus define us. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, it makes total sense why you would do that. I wouldn't expect anything more. We're so glad you're here. I so hope that you feel the love and compassion of Jesus Christ through the people who are here tonight. But I mean, how can you experience that if you haven't experienced Christ? But Christians, what the heck? We got to knock that off. If you've received the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ, don't you dare start measuring your identity against all the things that God says are dead and behind you. You move forward into who God has called you to be. The struggle is real, absolutely, but it is not who you are. It does not define you. You believe what God says about who you are and nothing else. And I believe that when we do that, we will see God make us into the people that he dreams for us to be. So that's the first one. The struggle is real, but it's not who you are. So stop living like it is. Second is this. The struggle is real, but so is the victory. Sometimes in our struggle, in sin or in life, we can get to this point where we feel like, man, I'm just like constantly failing. Like, I just feel like I'm running on a treadmill. Like, I cannot make progress in this. The same sin keeps coming up again and again, and I give into it every single time. Like, just about the time I make it through a hard situation, another one is right there in front of me. And we get to this point where, like, I'm either going to throw my hands up and say, screw this whole thing, I'm done with it. Or, maybe worse, we get to this point where, like, oh, that's just life. I mean, this is just all I could ever hope for. Spinning my wheels until I eventually die. And then hopefully I get to go to heaven. We need to understand is that even though the struggle is real, so is the victory. You don't have to fall every time to temptation when that temptation comes in to your heart or in your mind. You don't have to let difficult scenarios overwhelm you, overtake you. through the power of Jesus Christ, there is victory. You can, you have the ability to resist sin. You have the ability to live a life that is honoring to God, even in the most difficult times, darkest times in your entire life. It is possible. We can win. We can experience victory in this life. Man, there's just like thought among, you know, certain groups of Christians, even that there's just like, there's no hope. You'll always fail. You'll always spin your wheels, never really becoming more like Jesus. The best you can hope for is to say a prayer one time in your life and be saved. But, I mean, just keep trying. What a crappy way of looking at the power of Jesus in your life, right? I mean, I think the Bible doesn't paint a picture like that at all. It paints a picture, the whole narrative of the Bible paints a really clear case that, you know, righteousness and holiness, forward motion, choosing the next right thing, whatever you want to call it, is within our grasp as followers of Jesus. And it's not because of anything that we've earned for ourselves. Understand that. Everything given to us comes from God, but one of the gifts he's given us is free will. We can choose to put him first or not. We can choose to give in to sin. We can choose to let circumstance overcome us. On the opposite side of it, because of free will, we can choose the opposite. We can choose to resist sin. We can choose to think and act in a right way, in a godly way, in the middle of really hard situations. We can gain ground in our lives, even in the struggle. Now, understand this, perfection isn't going to happen. It's not what God calls us to. That'd be a real jerk move, and it's not going to happen, all right? You're never going to get to a point where you're like, oh, I don't sin anymore, and there's never been a sinful thought in my life for the past 20 years because I love Jesus the most. Like, that's not ever going to happen. But the entire story of the Bible is people who are brought into God's family who are consistently choosing to be more like him. It's this theological, big fancy Bible word called sanctification, which sounds really complicated to understand, but all it is just choosing the next right thing. It's becoming more like Jesus. It's a lifelong process, but we can take steps forward in it. We can resist temptation. We can choose to have a godly mind through the process of a struggle or a hard situation. We can choose joy and peace in the middle of the hard things we go through. Paul gives this amazing layout of what we're talking about in the book of Romans in chapter 6. This is the same guy that experienced struggle just to a huge degree. This is what he has to say about moving forward, about living in victory. Romans chapter 6. And there's a couple verses here, but they're just all so good that I couldn't cut any of them out. All right. So just listen, just kind of settle in and listen to this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Is he like, should you just keep going back to the same things you've always gone to? Should you keep crumpling under the pressure because God's forgiveness is always there? He says, no way, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? He's like, you've died to sin. How in the world can you live in it anymore? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been unified with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. Just like Jesus beat death by coming back from the dead, he says, you can live that way too. That the old person you used to be that was ruled by sin, they're dead. You don't have to go back there. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, you can be raised from your spiritually dead body and begin a new life. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with and that we should no longer be slaves to sin because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Man, what a powerful statement. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you are free from sin. You're free from sin. You don't have to go back to it. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Death can't do anything to him. He came back from the dead. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. That's a continuous process. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let it rule your thoughts. Don't let it rule your mind. Don't let it rule your heart. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And here's what he ends it with, and this is just so freaking cool. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin is not in charge of you anymore. And this absolutely applies to the hard things you go through as well. Those things do not control you anymore. You have the ability and opportunity to live in victory, even if it's just one step at a time. We say this all the time. Me and Megan say it all the time. You're probably sick of hearing it. Just choose to do the next right thing. When you think about how in the world am I supposed to avoid sin for the rest of my life? How in the world am I supposed to deal with every single circumstance that's coming my way? Man, don't look way, way down the road. Right in front of you is an opportunity to choose the next right thing, to choose to resist sin, to choose to act godly in a hard situation, to choose to live in victory. I mean, that's the how. You're going to run into these same things over and over again. I would venture to say that the hard situations you deal with and the sin temptations that come into your life, usually it's not a surprise when they show up, right? Usually you've taken a few steps down a road that leads you to a place like that. I think about it like this. I ride a Sweet Hog, you guys know. It's a Honda Metropolitan. It's pretty awesome. 49 cc's. You can get to 40 miles an hour on a downhill with a tailwind, you know. But I ride my scooter back and forth to work all the time, and I ride it on College. And there's a spot in College where it's not a pothole, but it's like there's like a part where it's kind of the cement sunken in. And in a car, you don't feel it, but in a scooter, even though it's pretty awesome, you definitely feel it. It's like every time you go by it. And for a while, because I wasn't thinking ahead, because I wasn't thinking or knowing what was in front of me, I would hit it every time, and it sucked. I didn't like doing it. So I started to plan ahead. I started to think about, hey, I know what's coming up. I know that this pothole is on its way. So I'm going to make a course correction because I'm not going to fall into the same little pothole again and again and again. And we have the same ability to do that in our lives with struggle and with sin. We just got to be looking ahead, and we got to make sure to choose the next right thing. We can win, but we have to understand from the beginning to the end that the only reason that we can experience victory is this last one. And this last one, I mean, it bookends this whole series. None of what we have talked about over the last 3 weeks matters at all if this last thing didn't exist, if this last thing wasn't true. This last thing is this: the struggle is real, but Jesus has overcome. Super churchy phrase, right? It's probably all over Pinterest in scripty writing, you know? Super churchy. But man, do we take a moment to think about that? Jesus has overcome. He has overcome any scenario that we find ourselves in. Jesus experienced the same temptation that every single one of us experienced. Jesus went through way harder things than any of us will ever experience. He had all his friends abandon him. He had a city turn on him. He died alone and broken and hurt. He took all the sin of all the people who hated him forever onto his own shoulders. He endured the righteous anger of God. He was willing to die. And you're telling me that he can't understand what you're going through? And if that's where the story ended, I mean, great story of someone who would give their life for someone else. But Jesus, that's not where the story ends. He comes back 3 days later, defeats death, defeats sin, and he has overcome. I love this verse so much in John chapter 16. Jesus is telling his disciples all about this stuff that's going to be coming their way. And it's depressing. He's like, people are going to hate you. They're going to drag me away and kill me. Like, you thought that I was going to come and take over this place. Well, actually, I'm going to go die. And his disciples are getting like more and more anxious. And they're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And Jesus says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, which I always thought was kind of humorous because it's like, you told us you were going to die and everyone's going to hate us so we could have peace? That doesn't seem to work out. Why in the world would you tell us that? This is why. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Do not be afraid. Have courage because I have overcome the world. In the struggle against sin, Jesus has overcome already. In your specific struggle against that one sin that just won't seem to quit, Jesus has overcome. In the situations in your life that seem absolutely impossible, that no one could possibly understand, Jesus has overcome. In every single struggle you find yourself, we have to remember, yes, it's real. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But Jesus has overcome, and that makes all the difference. We don't have to let our struggles define who we are because Jesus has overcome. We can live a life of victory. We can experience victory in our life because Jesus has overcome. Doesn't matter what scenario you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what home you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done. The promise remains, Jesus has overcome. And he offers that same power to each and every one of us. Because Jesus overcame, we can overcome as well. So what's our deal in this? What's our response to this? It's two things, I think. It's to surrender to him and to trust him. He won. He overcame. He will overcome. Man, let's stick with him. What if the next time temptation comes your way, you said, you know what? Jesus has overcome this, so I am able to resist it. What if the next life-shattering hardship happens? What if the next time that comes our way, we could say, this will not shake me. I will not fall because of this. Not because I'm awesome, but because Jesus has overcome. If you've been coming to church any amount of time, it's quite possible you've heard this. But my challenge tonight would be not just to hear it with our ears, but believe it in our hearts. That Jesus has overcome even the thing that's going through your mind right now that no one else knows about, a sin that if you're real honest, rules your heart. Even the really hard situation that makes it so hard for you to trust God as someone who cares about you. He has overcome. He cares about you, and he invites you along in this journey that he's leading us in. We're gonna close tonight out with a little bit of singing, and it's the song we sang last week. It's very appropriate at this particular time because, like I said, our response isn't to know everything. Our response isn't to have like the perfect answers for every situation that comes. Our response when we endure struggle is simply to trust, and we are able to do that because Jesus has overcome. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that a phrase, that a truth that we may have heard a billion times if we've been around the church world long enough, God, it hasn't lost its potency. Lord, that I believe that you have called us to be more than we settle for. Lord, I believe that we are always just seem to be looking for ways to kind of fade the dreams that you have for us, the things that you want us to be, the people who you want to make us into. God, I pray that tonight would just be another step in passion and in desire for you to make us into who you want us to be. Lord, struggle is a reality. And Lord, each and every one of these students is probably dealing with something. It'd be surprising if they weren't. But Lord, I pray that together as a group here tonight, that our song, our shout, our declaration, whatever we want to call it, God, is that even though the struggle is real, God, we will trust you. You've defeated sin. You've defeated death. You've offered me life. You've taken this cold, dark, stone heart that is inside me and you've brought it to life. Lord, what else could we possibly ask for? So God, I pray that even if it's not like some earth-shattering shift tonight in our hearts, that we would be intentional about saying, tonight I'm going to choose to trust you. Because you are trustworthy, God. Because you care about us. Because no matter what comes our way, you always overcome. We love you. We thank you for who you are, God. In your name, amen. words that we are singing, like, you know, in the deepest part of your hearts, like, those don't really apply to me. Like, I don't trust Jesus. And maybe you're in here tonight and you've never made that decision to trust Jesus. And can we just take a second and say, it doesn't really matter if you've been around the church a long time, or if you were born into a family who's been in the church for a long time. If you've never made that decision for yourself, you've never made that decision. This is an opportunity to do that here tonight. And it really is that simple. You don't even know what you're getting into. It's awesome. And it's difficult. And it's amazing. And it's totally worthwhile. But what is a constant is it all starts with us inside of our hearts saying, Lord, I've sinned. I know who I am. But I want to trust you. I think what we'll do here tonight is if you're in that spot, and maybe somewhere back in your past you said a prayer or something, but you know in here that you're not trusting Jesus, or maybe you've never ever made that decision yourself. What I think would be helpful is after I pray, we head off into our small groups. I just want you to stick around. Maybe come up here, and if a couple of our staff would be willing, we want to explain to you a little bit more about, like, what is the deal with that? What does it mean? But if you know enough right here, right now, that you can say in your heart, I want to trust Jesus. I want that life you're describing. I want to live in victory. I want to live defined by who he is. And tonight's your night. Tonight's an opportunity to take that first step of many, many steps of becoming more like Jesus and becoming who he's created you to be. He cares for you infinitely more than you know, and he wants you in your family. So I'll pray. And man, if that hits you tonight, I encourage you to stick around. Come up here to the front. We'll have a few people here who want to talk to you. Lord Jesus, man, we're just so grateful. I'm just so, so grateful that the words that we sing, the time that we spend to come in here, to gather together, to lift your name up, to seek your face, Lord, if this wasn't real, if you haven't overcome, we are just wasting our time. But God, I'm so glad and have such confidence that because you are who you say you are, Lord, this is the best thing we could be doing with our time. Seeking you. God, I pray that the next time struggle comes, which might just be waiting just outside those doors, Lord, that we would know what it is, know what it's not, be ready for it. But Lord, when it comes, we will be able to say, yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, it's hard, but it's not who I am. And I can have victory in this. And it's all because you're alive and because you've overcome. We love you and we thank you that you are willing to do that for us. Lord, we want to seek you with everything we have. In your awesome, amazing name, amen. So you guys can head off to your small groups. Thanks for being here. If that kind of hits you tonight, I encourage you to stick around. We'll be up here for a few minutes. And be sure to come back next week for our worship night. It's going to be a really awesome time again of just seeking God's heart. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll see you next time.
until the end of time. My soul surrenders. Oh, the earth sing of mercy.